We'll be talking about the impact of gun violence and suicide in this episode. If these are difficult topics for you, please take care when listening.
My name is Amy Over, and this is Confronting Columbine.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes, but let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Confronting Columbine continues with Amy Over. I'm Nancy Glass. Amy, you lost 12 students and your coach during the massacre at school. There was another loss a year later. Who was Greg Barnes?
Greg Barnes was a star athlete, and not only just a superstar athlete and basketball player, but he was a sweetheart. Everyone knew him because you knew that he was going places.
Was he in your class?
No, he was younger, but he was playing varsity sports, so I was around Greg a lot, and he was being scouted by big schools. He was one of the kids in the science room with Dave Sanders. He actually saw Dave get shot.
And he died a year later?
He took his own life a year later. I reached out to his basketball coach, Rudy Martin, and we reconnected after all this time.
Greg Barnes, a Columbine High student and one of the top basketball players in Colorado. Greg did survive the shootings, but one of his best friends did not. Greg, among several students who tried to keep a girls' basketball coach alive.
He was holding Coach Sanders when he bled to death.
Greg took his own life. A CD next to him looped to play a song with the words, "I'm too depressed to go on."
Shock. Total shock.
Were you there that day in 1999?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We heard firecrackers. We didn't know what was going on. So we went up to the hallway to kind of look in the cafeteria to see what was going on. And we could see students running past, but a teacher turned the corner and said, get out, someone's got a gun. So we got out pretty quick into the parking lot and hid behind some cars until the police said, get out of there. Little did we know, they had two cars with bombs in them.
I really wanted to talk to you. I always loved watching you, Coach. I read about you made it into the Hall of Fame.
For the JeffCo Hall of
Fame. That's so awesome.
Yeah, it's an honor. There's a lot of good people in it.
You were such an impactful mentor to those boys. Over the course of doing this podcast, we just started really diving into Columbine, and Greg Barnes' name keeps coming up. Mm-hmm. Everyone talks about Greg. Mm.
There was Mr. D.
And then Greg Barnes was one of the kids. He was in the classroom with Dave Sanders, and we tried to keep Mr. Sanders alive, and I just can't do it. All of a sudden, his dad comes home and Greg's hanging from the rafters. He said, I can't live with these images any longer, and he took his own life.
Lou Martin, the guy who let me into his house.
You know, a kid had so much to live for. He was Mr. Colorado Basketball, his best kid in the state.
and my basketball crew.
So my little sister and him kind of dated for a while, and he was actually in the same classroom as Cammy with Coach Sanders. My little sister went to counseling right away. Everyone kind of had their way. I don't know what his thing was after with all that or how he kind of processed and dealt, but May 4th and took his own life.
I think that just was such an impactful moment when he passed. I just never understand suicide. We're talking a lot about mental wellness and taking care of ourselves and recognizing signs when people need help. And we're finding after a school shooting, communities are struggling with suicides. Mm-hmm. Parkland's had two already in their 3 years out of their shooting. Greg Barnes, we're just hearing his name. And I want to talk about him.
Yeah.
And I didn't want him to be forgotten.
Yeah, and I don't either. I still get real emotional when I think about
it. Me too.
So, very hard.
I know. I had to put Greg in a box for a while. I'm confronting a lot of things with this, hence confronting Columbine.
Yeah.
But I'm confronting a lot of things that hurt me 21 years ago.
Yeah. Greg's suicide took precedence in me over the shootings, just sadness and thought and depression. I mean, that was kind of my thinking with the shootings. He was in the science room with Sanders when Sanders died, so he was actually even helping him. So he had to go through that and carry the burden. He even thought about transferring, just getting out of the building because it was so hard, but he didn't. He was a loyal teammate, and in the end, he wanted to stay there and try to fight it out.
Yeah. I had to compartmentalize Greg's death. Mm-hmm. It messed me up so bad. The last time I saw Greg was awful because I worked at 24 Hour Fitness, and he would go in and play basketball. Well, that day that he came in, his membership had expired, and my boss was standing right there. And I'm like, hey, Greg. And he's like, hey, Amy. He's like, hold on here. And my boss is looking over my shoulder, and he's just being a total asshole to me. And he's like, hey, his thing's expired. You can't let him into play. And I was like, come on, dude. Seriously. And I'm like, Greg, I'm so sorry. I'm like, could you call your dad right now and like pay this amount on here and, you know, get in? And I was like, dude, if my boss wasn't here, I'd let you in. And he's like, F you. And he literally left. Stormed out, and that was my last interaction with him. It haunted me, and I went to his funeral, and I just drove, actually on the way here, drove past St. Francis Cabrini, and just all the emotions come back. I didn't realize he was suffering so bad.
And neither did I, and that was one of the things that bothered me the most is, other than his mom and dad, I was probably the next closest adult to him. I mean, we had talked almost every day, not just during the season, but the off season. He was always coming in to get films and talk about what we were going to do, and he was a smart kid.
Was there any sign that something was wrong?
I know his dad had called me and said he's worried, and this was the week of, and probably a week and a half before. He was trying to get him in to see a counselor, and that happened just this little time period before that. But other than that, we saw nothing but a happy, determined kid. He's a straight-A student.
Yeah.
In addition to putting so much time in the game.
We'd always do pickup games with the guys and stuff, and he was just, not only was he an amazing basketball player, he was a great person.
That was something that when I think about Greg, you know, as a coach in high school, you're dealing with a lot of egos. God, Greg was humble. He was nice. I'd never heard him say anything mean to an opponent or to a teammate. Just a real sweet kid.
He was younger, but colleges were already looking, right?
They were. There were a lot of bigger schools. I know Vanderbilt, Utah, Texas A&M. He died on a Thursday, and Monday Before that, he went to visit DU.
Denver University.
Right, which was a low Division I school. So mm-hmm. he had a lot of bigger schools after him. And this is May now. And on Tuesday, he came into my classroom at lunch.
You mean the Tuesday before he passed away?
Yeah. And it was just he and I. And he said, I'm going to go to DU. And I said, whoa, wait, we've got summer to get through. Don't you want to kind of wait? No, I figured out with my parents that they can see me 12 times, and there's two games that are pretty close, so 14. I like that. I like school, so I'm going to go to DU. And I think I did tell them, hey, I might want to just hold off, just reconsider. But I do remember at the end of that conversation, he said, hey, coach, can I take a couple films? I had all the films on VHS in my room. And I said, yeah, I'd grab a couple that you want. And he said, hey, coach, do you mind if I take the box? Yeah, just make sure they all get back. I can use them for your recruiting, so make sure you get them back. Well, before his death, we could see he had watched, he had stayed up and watched all those films. Wow. In the last couple days, and they were all scattered on the mm-hmm. floor. And he obviously was watching those games.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
If you're like me and refuse to let go of your skinny jeans, you're a millennial. And if you're a millennial, it's time to add Clarins Multi-Active Cream to your daily routine. Rooted in nature and innovated with science, Clarins has a long legacy of creating industry-first, plant-forward products. Using a skin charger complex made of 2% niacinamide and sea holly bioextract, Clarins Multi-Active Cream has been clinically proven to target the first visible signs of aging by smoothing lines and wrinkles, refining pores, evening tone and texture, and strengthening the skin's moisture barrier. While Multi-Active Cream can't bring back the golden age of boy bands, it can de-stress your skin. Clarins Multi-Active Cream is available online now. Go to clarins.com/truecrime and get Multi-Active Day and Night Cream for 10% off, a free welcome gift, plus free shipping on your first order. That's clarins.com/truecrime with promo code TRUECRIME. clarins.com/truecrime with promo code TRUECRIME.
He kind of was a little bit of a late bloomer. But the one thing I remember about this kid is he had a motor. He had speeds. And not all players do. They kind of chug along at 90%. Not Greg. When he kicked it into high gear, it was amazing.
And he played point guard, right?
Well, he played any position he wanted. Really, that's how good he was. I learned right away how tough he was mentally. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to be one of the star players, that comes with it. You've mm-hmm. got to be mentally tough.
Yeah.
Of course, it was his junior year. And it was Bear Creek. And we won. And it was a pretty good game. I thought we played pretty well. And we got in the locker room. And I could see Greg kind of had his head down. And we just won.
Yeah.
And so after everybody left, hey, Greg, what gives? And he said, oh, nothing. He said, I was 7-for-12 from the foul line. And I said, Greg, you're going to have nights like that. That's okay. Well, the next day was Saturday morning, and we had practice. And he was always the first one there. And he said, hey, coach, 91. I said, 91 what? He said, I was 91-for-100 last night in my driveway. Went home, shot 100 free throws. And so I just said, good for you, Greg, good for you. But that was Greg. I
mean, just driven.
just so driven and worked so hard. And it showed.
He was so fun to watch.
Yeah.
It shocked us all. And to go through April 20th and then a year later, lose the star basketball player, just such a great guy. How did you find out that Greg was gone?
That was really hard. I went out to lunch and I kept feeling my phone buzzing and I didn't pay any attention to it. I mean, no one had cell phones before the shootings and after we all got them. Yeah. And I finally looked and there was about 10 calls from my teammate, Tim Capra. And so I called him back and he said, they said at school a star athlete died. They think it might be suicide. And he said, I think it's Greg. You better get over to the house right away. And so as soon as I got there, there was a crowd of people in the front yard. And it was hard.
Yeah,
that was hard. A lot of crying.
My therapist, Dr. Gary Borgeson.
Right. Mine too.
He helped me.
Right.
He helped me through that and talked about details and stuff like that. But it was really hard. I just couldn't believe it.
Still kind of in shock, you know, very difficult. And really kind of trying to decide where to go. Kind of made my decision to not come back. I just didn't feel I could give the team what they needed just because emotionally I was in a tough place and they deserved something else. I gave it a long thought, but I resigned at the end of June. Those last few years, I was just kind of walking through the halls was tough because of the shootings and now Greg. And I know Greg's younger brother was just about to enter high school. His name is Doug. And I just thought, I can't walk down the hall and see Doug and not come unglued about Greg. I think it's better to go.
Yeah. What do you want people to know about Greg Barnes?
Well, that he was such a good kid. He was very humble and very appreciative. People wanted to be around him. His junior year, he was All-State, and the Denver Post only picks 5 kids, and the other 4 were seniors.
That's amazing.
It was.
Will you tell the Barnes burner story?
It was after a huge game against Westminster. The article says Rebels win a Barnes burner. Columbine gets 33 points from Greg Barnes over Westy. And here's the first couple paragraphs. Chicks dig Greg Barnes. And why not? The kid has a nice arsenal of basketball skill that includes huge ups, good defense, and a shot that rips nylon from all angles and ranges. After the Columbine's spectacular victory over Westminster last Thursday, Barnes, who roasted Westy for 33 points, found a crowd of media eager for his thoughts and one spectator that wanted his phone number. While an autograph and a kiss on the cheek may be rare, after a high school match, it must be stressed that this was not your standard prep game, and that girl was from Westminster. Gave him her phone number. Greg didn't know how to act about that. And
he was awkward.
That wasn't Greg. He spent too much time playing basketball to have that girlfriend relationship.
I wonder if the trauma from the shootings and the expectations for him to perform on the court were overwhelming. It's a lot.
That could have been an issue because he was averaging 26 points a game, and it's like that's pressure alone in itself. So I think on the basketball side of it, there was that part of it. Dave Sanders and the whole incident, it's just so hard to know how that impacts kids. I know it did with Greg, but to what level, I have no idea. It's still just too emotional for me.
I can't imagine what you went through. I'm sorry that you went through that.
It still lingers.
It does.
It's still there.
I'm just really glad we got to talk about him today. It's a lot of healing for me too, you know?
It's been a tough few days knowing I was coming in here.
It's not easy.
It's still hard.
Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug? Ignored a leaky faucet? Pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look like that? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects. But there's an easier way. When you download Thumbtack, it's easier to care for your home from top to bottom. Pull out your phone and in just a few steps, you can search, chat, and book highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next, because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. So say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects and say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
I wanted to talk to somebody who really could help me understand a little bit more about teen suicide, partly to understand what happened to Greg. He was obviously suffering. Teen suicide is something that's really, really a hard topic to understand. And I have three teenagers living in the house. I found a wonderful lady, Dr. Paramjit Joshi, with a ton of knowledge on this topic. And she's currently a staff member on the University of California, Irvine. She's dedicated her career to kids' mental health. You heard the story about Greg Barnes.
Yes.
I went to high school with Greg. I played basketball with him. Greg, he looked like he was holding everything together after his trauma.
So one of the most painful things I think that we have to grapple with is the fact that when you have physical injuries, you can see them. But emotional injuries are internal scars that you don't see. And we're so dependent on what the person tells us or doesn't tell us. Somehow they were, they didn't die in the incident. And somehow they have to hold it together for whatever reason. It could be a multitude of reasons. It's kind of the survivor guilt in some ways. I have to do whatever I have to do to make it. I was lucky, I was not killed. But then there's so many other factors and variables in one's life. And so there's some, who manage and move on. There are others who really get impacted by other things that happen in their lives. Kids are under a tremendous amount of pressure, whether it's social pressure, academic pressure, family pressure. And so it's really hard to gauge who might be unable to handle it and who might be able to. I mean, that's kind of a $1 million question. And I think the other parallel to this is that there's a lot of stigma about accessing and asking for help. And that's really, really unfortunate. We have made some dents, and a lot of that has to do with education and public impressions. I think politicians need to understand it as well. Because if politicians understand it, then there is funding that follows.
Definitely. For a teenager who is exposed to that level of violence and trauma, is there some kind of standard care we should be looking at?
There is some research to show that if you have direct exposure to trauma, the impact is far greater than if you hear about it. And so in Greg's situation, he was right there. He saw it, he felt it, all his five senses were impacted. And some of this research was done after 9/11, in the kids in Manhattan. And the kids who just kind of saw it on television versus those who actually were in the area were far more impacted and had higher rates subsequent to that of depression and panic attacks and social anxiety.
You said there could be other factors that impact an outcome in response to trauma. What are some examples of that?
Does the individual access care? Then there are other psychosocial factors, family or, your spirituality or your religion. I always say kids sit on a kind of a three-legged stool. You have your family, you have your school, and you have your friends. if any one of them is wobbly, the person, is not being supported in that way so that they can be comforted, scaffolded, and move forwards.
That's a great analogy. When you hear about a mass shooting, you also hear that counselors are brought in. Mm-hmm. We had counselors brought in after Columbine, almost 22 years ago. But you said it was counterintuitive since we tell our kids not to talk to strangers. Should we expect kids to suddenly confide in strangers coming into their community?
You know, that is really tough. If there are a group of professionals who are really going to become part of the school culture and are going to be there for a period of time, then the kids can start to trust them. So, for example, if we have some school psychologists or social workers or, other mental health providers, the kids get to know them. You know, we don't just talk to a stranger. We ordinarily don't. Mm-hmm. I think the school teachers and authorities mean well, but in the long run, it's putting a Band-Aid. So my suggestion really would be that if, in fact, you're going to bring mental health professionals into the school, they need to be there for a period of time. You know, I always tell my patients, finding a therapist, including myself, is like dating.
It is.
you need to feel comfortable. And there's nothing wrong with the therapist or with the young person. It's just, it's kind of, do you jive? You know, do you feel you can really talk to this person and open your heart out to this person?
I live in a nice affluent area here in Colorado, and I read somewhere we have like one of the highest suicide rates in the nation, but nobody talks about it.
Mm-hmm. Suicide in teenagers is the third leading cause of death, and that is after motor vehicle accidents. Why do kids, choose to take their lives? It's a multitude of factors, really, but one of the most important ones is either a mood disorder or a severe anxiety disorder. They have trouble sleeping. They start having trouble concentrating. They withdraw from activities that they normally enjoy. They lose interest in things. If you can identify the symptoms of depression in youngsters, then we can at least reach out and get some help for them so that we never reach that point where, they feel they are so despondent and so overwhelmed with their feelings of sadness and hopelessness and helplessness that they feel that there's no way out. As regards depression and anxiety and PTSD and bipolar disorder, have clearly shown that a combination of an appropriate medication and evidence-based psychotherapy has the best effect than either alone. Give ourselves permission to seek help and have society not push back or think of you in a negative way. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of work ahead of us.
Dr. Joshi, thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
On the next episode of Confronting Columbine.
I'm a survivor of the largest mass shooting in U.S. history. I talked to the guy for like a few messages. He asked me if I would wear the outfit that I wore during the shooting on a date.
For more information on the Rebels Project or to donate, please go to therebelsproject.org and see me there. Want to know more about the Confronting podcast? Please follow us at Confronting Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook for photos, additional content, and discussions about the podcast. We are all confronting something, and I look forward to continuing the discussion from our episodes over social media with all of you. If you enjoyed this one, please subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for going on this journey with me. Confronting Columbine was produced and hosted by me, Amy Over. Executive produced by Nancy Glass, Andrea Gunning, Ben Fetterman, and Carrie Hartman. Produced by Julie Clark. Associate producer, Trey Morgan. Editing by senior audio editor, Matt Delvecchio. Editor, Drew Wallace, and Dean Welsh. With production assistance from Megan Paisley and Brianna Fars. Other members of the production team include Kristen Melcuri, Pete Ward, and Natalie Thomas. Music and original composition by Mibe Music. Special thanks to CBS4, KCNC-TV, Eric Christensen, Doug Otwell of MileHighSports.com, and Mikey Rotolo. Confronting Columbine was produced by Glass Entertainment Group, Glass Podcasts, in partnership with Wondery.
This episode is brought to you by the effortlessly scrumptious bite of Skinny Pop Popcorn. Imagine this: perfectly popped, endlessly delicious kernels, a symphony of just three simple ingredients: popcorn, sunflower oil, and a sprinkle of salt. No compromise, just pure snacking freedom. And hey, if you're up for a twist, dive into flavors like zesty white cheddar to sweet and salty kettle. Every bite's a delight, light and oh so tasty. Shop Skinny Pop now.